I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black. It is Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black, Space Engineering and Space Exploration, and also What Can Go Wrong and Why. And that's what we're looking at soon enough with NASA. But we start with the success, not only a repeated success for Starship Super Heavy, for SpaceX in general, but success at the FAA. There's got to be a secret here. Bob, a very good evening to you. Donations and subscriptions are most generous, $25. Will $25 unwrap the secret of how you get the FAA approval? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, it at least helped me try to unravel the secret. Your reader's support, your listener's support is very appreciated. So what has happened is that SpaceX had requested an upgrade to its plans at Boca Chica for launching Starship Super Heavy. They had previously had gotten an environmental impact statement assessment that allowed them to do up to 9 launches a year from Boca Chica. And they had requested about a year and a half ago that they increase that to 25 launches per year, 3 of which would be at night. And the request had also included a flight path that would allow them to fly over the United States to bring Starship back to Boca Chica to be caught by the chopsticks. That's after doing orbital launches, which it hasn't quite done yet. And it also allow them to bring Super Heavy back, possibly, to the chopstick towers at Florida. That's another possibility. And so that was the request. And so this past week, the FAA confirmed that after reviewing the so-called impact of these changes and requests, that there would be no significant environmental impact for increasing the number of launches and allowing Starship to come back to Boca Chica and even Super Heavy to possibly land at Florida. At least to fly over the United States as a minimum. And so they are now approved to do up to 25 launches out of Boca Chica. This is confirmed. There's no doubt about this now. There are obviously people that are protesting, but the fact is that SpaceX is moving forward, and this is now happening. As for the secret for getting the FAA to say yes, John, that's a mystery that I think ties to Donald Trump and Joe Biden more than anything else. When Biden was president, it was very obvious that the FAA was being required to slow walk every request.
Fish and wildlife, Bob. Fish and wildlife for a rocket ship.
Yeah. Yes, they were. The FAA was required to do environmental impact statements on every request, every test launch, and then to get impact information from Fish and Wildlife with each one, and they all had to write long reports. That all ended with the Trump administration. Now, FAA is much more to the point in getting things approved very quickly, and I think it was a political decision. That's the bottom line, John, and it's pretty sad in a state and nation today that politics like that could influence a free company, free Americans.
I want to rush forward, Bob, and say this costs years of development. Years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would say that the Super Heavy Starship would be about 2 years ahead of schedule now if it wasn't for the Biden administration.
They'd be ready to go to the moon and beyond. They'd be ready.
They would might very well have been ready. And so the complaint that, oh, it's Starship Super Heavy that's slowing things down, which it is not. But there would be no delay. There would not have been any cause to.
And we're guessing that there was somebody who gave that order. We don't know that. It's just odd. Before and after pictures are so dramatically different.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but the guy who was head of the FAA. He said some things along the way that made it clear he was doing a lot of the slow walking. He made a comment at one point that, oh, we got to investigate sonic booms seriously. And it was like an absurd statement. And he made some other comment that we really have to do this stuff. And so I think he was one of the causes, and he was a Biden official.
All right, let's go to NASA. There's we're on the eve of another attempt at a wet rehearsal. What is that, Bob?
All right, so NASA has already started the wet dress, its second attempt to do a wet dress rehearsal countdown of the SLS rocket with Orion sitting on top. This is essentially a dress rehearsal countdown. They fuel the rocket. They're testing if they can fuel the rocket and have no problems. When they did their first wet dress rehearsal about 2 weeks ago, there were fuel leaks. This is not an unusual problem. They had this problem with the shuttle because they're using shuttle engines and shuttle hydrogen fuel. They had this problem in 22 when the first SLS launch took place. And so they couldn't complete that wet dress rehearsal. They replaced some seals. They then did a fueling test last week to see if the seals worked. They did work, but then they had a filter problem someplace else where fuel was not flowing as much as it should have. And so they have checked that out, too, and they've now begun the wet dress rehearsal. They hope to complete it tomorrow. We'll see if that happens. It must be perfect, or they cannot launch. Jarek Isaacman, NASA administrator, said he wants a complete, successful wet dress rehearsal before he will okay a launch. If this wet dress rehearsal goes well, they say their tentative launch date would be March 6th. Their present launch window ends April 6th. So if this wet dress rehearsal has any kind of glitches, they're going to start to have – their margins are going to shrink considerably. They will have less and less time to get this off in this launch window.
Bob, why doesn't this happen with SpaceX? What's the difference?
It has to do with the concept of the program, John. SpaceX tests hardware all the time. It does tank tests. It does fueling tests repeatedly as it's building its prototypes. So as it's building the prototypes, it's testing its fueling systems and its crews for fueling aggressively. And if there's problems, they fix them and they proceed. But they're very hardware rich. They can blow things up if they have to because they make lots of super heavies and starships. When it comes to SLS, NASA is hardware poor. They don't have the equipment to do multiple testing. So literally the only time they can test SLS and its fueling equipment is when they've got the rocket completely stacked and are ready to launch. They have to literally wait. So for the past 3 years, they could not test any of this stuff because SLS wasn't stacked and ready to go. That's just the nature of the rocket and the way the whole thing was designed. That's a management mistake of NASA. It's not the engineers here that are trying to deal with this problem.
SpaceX doesn't use liquid hydrogen. NASA does. What's the difference? When did that choice happen?
All right. So the liquid hydrogen being used on SLS was a choice made during the shuttle era. When they first designed the shuttle, they made the decision to go with hydrogen because hydrogen gives you the biggest bang for the buck. It's the lightest, but it produces the most energy. And they thought that would be the best idea. 2020 hindsight, it was a mistake because hydrogen, even though it gives you more power, it's such a light and tiny molecule atom that it's very difficult to control. And so it causes you enormous management and engineering problems, which causes delays. Now, both SpaceX and most companies have chosen methane in recent years because it doesn't give you these kind of problems. It's easier to handle. It's safer to handle. And it gives you almost as much power. And so that's the basic decision. So the SLS uses the shuttle engines. The decision by Congress to save money and time will use old shuttle parts. But that didn't save money or time. It actually cost money and time.
It's too late to change. They're committed. This is it.
This is the nature of the rocket. You can't just change fuel. No, absolutely not.
All right. I did the best I could to come up with an alternative to more delays.
I'll tell you what the terminal is. The alternative, John, is the American space program done by private companies using their own rockets. And you dump SLS entirely.
We move to private space, commercial space, Rocket Factory Augsburg. What is that?
This is one of the European rocket startups that began in the last 5 years. It tried to launch in 24, but during a static fire test just prior to the launch, they lost the first stage. They're trying to launch out of Saxeford in the UK, give them luck there. They have gotten their licenses, believe it or not. They say they're now getting close to a second launch attempt. The stages are being shipped to Saxeford. They have got the new tower and launch facility set up. And so sometime this year, they hope to do a launch, John, and that's exciting. We'll get another rocket company going. It would be a miracle. We'll actually get a rocket launched from the United Kingdom. That would be a miracle.
And we moved to India. There's a piece of an Indian test, a fairing, that landed in the Maldives. What's the significance of that?
This is just interesting, John. The Bahubali rocket, that's their LVM3 rocket, that's India's biggest rocket. Bahubali is its name they've given it recently, which is good. They have a name. It launched in December. It was the heaviest launch they've ever done with this Bahubali rocket. It launched AST Space Mobile 6 Bluebird satellite. This is a constellation that provides direct-to-cell service from satellites. Well, it appears that the fairings that protected the satellite when launched, when they released, they hit the Indian Ocean and they drifted. One was picked up in Sri Lanka about a month ago. The other one was found in the Maldives this past week. And that's just interesting. It's a shame they don't recover those fairings like SpaceX does. But once again, it's a choice of a government agency not to do reusability, John. What can I say?
We moved to the Chinese space program, which is civil and military always at the same time. And recently, China has come forward with startups that are presented as private space. They're raising money. Now, Bob, I've learned that the Chinese space program is important to the young people of China. This is a vote for nationalism, a vote for we can do it too. Which is wonderful. It works the same way for our young people. I'm unaware, though, whether it makes a difference to them that it's all the one government and it's all one party. I don't know. But these startups, who's the audience for that, to pretend that this isn't the Chinese Communist Party?
I call them pseudo companies, because even though they appear to be private in every way and they raise funds and they win contracts and they supposedly work independent and competitive with each other, and in many ways they do, which creates for China a lot of innovation and new ideas. This is smart on China's part. Everything is still controlled by the government. Everything, no one has proprietary data. The government gets to see everything and it can share it with anything and it can steal anything. And it has done that. I've seen that. So one of these pseudo companies is called iSpace. It has a reusable rocket. It hasn't yet launched. It has announced it had raised $725 million in investment capital. However, where that investment capital came from, it came from a variety of Chinese sources, many of which are government.
Right.
Many of which are banking, but they're government in the background. So, we don't know what the deal is here. It is private, but it's not private. And it provides China with a successful, aggressive space industry, but it is controlled by the government, and the government can take control back at any time.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Patterson. All right, we're chasing Interstellar when we come back. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. It's Happy Birthday, Bob Zimmerman. Your $25 donations or subscriptions most welcome. I'm John Patterson.